Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Chof Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find 7 lines from the top of Daf Chof Vov. Before we begin the actual text, we glance at the side and take advantage of one of the features of our marked Gemaras. We have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. Nosei being the topic heading and Mivneh structural note that's combined into one. We have a double underline, one of our series markings, and it reads Shtoros Sheha Michinom Meroish Tzorach Lohoniach Kamo Mekoimos Reikim. The Mishnah features a number of different documents that when you prepare them ahead of time, you have to leave certain pieces of information, certain spots in the respective documents blank. We look now at the Mishnah. HaKosev Tofsei Gittin. One who is preparing the standard form section of a divorce document. Tzorach Sheniach Mokom Ho'ishu Mokom Ho'ishu Mokom Hazman. You have to leave blank the information that will say personalizes the divorce document. The place for the man's name, the woman's name, namely the husband's name, the wife's name, and the place that the time would be, so that the rest of the we call the standard language of a divorce document can be prepared ahead of time. However, the specific areas must be left blank. Let's take a look at Rashi. HaKosev Tofsei Gittin Shesofer Hu. We're talking about the a person who's a scribe, the notel schar, and he gets paid for his services. The roisishu mezumanim lo. He wants to have documents prepared ahead of time. Pomim shaldim baal lesochro. Sometimes a person comes in to hire his services. Vu torud b'shtoros acherim, and he's preoccupied with preparing other documents, so as to have things streamlined and made more efficient, so he would have things prepared ahead of time, and all that would be needed is to fill in just a limited amount of information. That would make life much easier for a scribe. So these are the rules concerning such people. Shtore milveh, loan documents. Tzorach sheniach mokom hamalveh, you have to leave blank the place for the name of the lender, mokom haloive, the borrower, mokom hamos, how much money, and mokom hazman, the date. Shtore mekach, contracts involving purchase. Tzorach shianiach, mokom halokeach, mokom hamocher, leave blank the space for the names of the purchaser, the name of the seller, mokom hamos, how much money, and mokom hasode, the location of the field, the property being sold, umokom hazman, mipnei hatakona. And also to leave the date spot blank. The term mipnei hatakona will be dealt with by the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda posel bekulon. Rabbi Yehuda says that all of the above are unacceptable, even when you leave the spots that were mentioned before, even when you leave them blank. Rabbi Elazar machshir bekulon. Rabbi Elazar says all of the above are fine, provided you leave the required spaces blank. Chutz migite noshim, with the exception of bills of divorce, where Rabbi Elazar does not accept writing any of it ahead of time, And Rashi points out, because he is fearful that if we allow writing the basic, the standard form of the get ahead of time, someone will come along and write in the points that we mentioned before, the personalized elements, they'll also write in ahead of time, and that would be that would render the get unacceptable. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'kosav law lishma." A get must be written with a specific couple in mind. Now, the problem with this last line, Rashi alludes to the question. If you read the Mishnah a very simple way, it comes out that Reb Elazar, he's saying you can't, when it comes to a get isha, you cannot write even the standard form because it says v'kosav law lishma. But that pasuk is not a reference to the standard form of the get. That pasuk is a reference to the toreif, the personalized portion of the get. So there's a technical problem in the reading of this Mishnah at the very end. The Gemara, though, will deal with that. Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Tzorach shianiach af mokoim harei at muteres l'chol odom. In addition to the above mentioned spots in the get that one would have to leave blank, you have to leave this phrase out. When you're preparing the standard form of the get, gittin all gittin will have this language in it, which says, and you are now permitted to marry anyone you like. That phrase must be left out when you're preparing a get ahead of time. And this is in accordance with Reb Elazar. This is in accordance with Reb Elazar, Diomar Ede Mesira Karsi. According to Reb Elazar, and we've seen this many times in our Masechta already, witnesses are necessary to make a get binding, to enable it to be a legally enforced document. You need witnesses, but which witnesses? Are they the witnesses that signed the get, or are they the witnesses that see the handing over of the get, the conveyance of the get to the woman? Reb Elazar is of the opinion that the witnesses that make the get into a get are the ones that witness its delivery, its handing over. As far as Reb Elazar is concerned, by letter of the law, you don't need any witnesses signing in the document at all. So when the pasuk that deals with a get states the kosav law sefer krisis v'nosan biyodo, what is that v'kosav referring to? And you shall write. If according to Reb Elazar, Ede Mesira Karsi, it's the Ede Mesira that are responsible for the legal force of the get, and you don't need witnesses to sign it at all, so what writing is the Torah referring to? The Torah is referring to the writing of the text of the get itself. Uboinon Ksiva Lishma. And according to Reb Elazar, you need the writing of the body of the get itself to be done with specific intention. And part of that, of the writing of the get itself, is a reference to the Iker Krisus, the main break between the couple, the main phrase that describes how they're breaking apart, i.e. divorcing. Rashi says, Ede Mesira Karsi, Hilkoch v'kosav law, the Torah's demand of v'kosav law, or the Torah's instruction of that, is lava chasim okoi. It's not a reference to the signing of the witnesses. The chasim esedim eino elam idivrei sofer mitikon olam. The fact that Reb Elazar he acknowledges witnesses signing the get, but that's a rabbinic suggestion, which tikkun olam makes things ease circumstances in the event that your aiding mesira are unavailable, so you'll be able to fall back on the witnesses that sign the get. V'chiksi v'kosav law mashma a'ikur krisus koi dahainu kol hanida moron. The Torah's expectation then of v'kosav law is a reference to the main aspects of the get, which include the names, the date, and Shmuel adds this phrase, Hare At Muter Scholem, which is the basic, we say, the result of the divorce, that she is now muteris to marry anyone else. Up till this point, if one has a, let's say, a tremendous memory, or one reads Rashi, one will note that the last three Mishnayos, we had Shmuel ruling like Rebbe Lazar. And the question is, the question that the Gemara deals with is, why is it necessary for Shmuel in each case to say that these three, let's say, unnamed Mishnayos are in accordance with Rebbe Lazar? We saw that just now. Shmuel says that you have to leave this phrase out of Gittin prepared ahead of time, because this unnamed Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Lazar. He said that here, and he also said that regarding the Mishnah back on the Abchof Aleph on the base, which said Ein Kusvin Ala Mechubar, that a get is not to be written while attached. And with regard to the Mishnah on the Abchof Beis on the base, where Shmuel appeared on the following Omid, where the Mishnah had said Hakol Ksheirim Lichtov, everyone is fit to writing a get, and the Mishnah that we just had of Kosev Tosei Gittin, in each one Shmuel said that the Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Lazar, that holds that the Edei Mesira Karsi, and therefore the writing of the get must be done with extra care. Let's continue now in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, that is. Utsricha. As we said, we need Shmuel to establish these Mishnayos that we just enumerated to be in accordance with Rebbe Lazar. The E Ashmin and Hachka Maisa, had we taught you the first one, that the Mishnah that dealt with the writing of a get while attached to the ground, it's possible to establish that Mishnah like Rebbe Lazar. The Katani, that Mishnah had a contradiction in it. It said Ein Kaisun. It started off by saying one does not write a get while Mechubar. The Katani Kasu, and it went on to say, well, if they wrote a get Mechubar to the Karka, attached to the ground, it's kosher. And wow, that would create a real contradiction within the Mishnah itself. And the resolution of that is that you're not supposed to write even the standard form of the get while attached. But if you did, if you wrote the standard form while attached, and why shouldn't you write the standard form of the get while attached? Because you might come to write the essential part of the get also while attached. However, if you did write the standard form attached, you can detach it and fill in the essential part while detached. And our concern that you are writing the essential part while detached is a function of holding like Rebbe Lazar, that the ksiva, the writing of the get, must be done without any gap between the writing and the giving. And that's a function of understanding that the writing of the get, of the body or the personal information, that is in accordance with Rebbe Lazar. That explanation helps us to resolve the contradiction. And that explanation fits in, again, as we said, with Rebbe Lazar, that's insistent that the writing of the body of the get, the essential part of the get, must be done properly. You see, according to Rebbe Meir, that all that wouldn't matter how the writing of the get itself takes place. The only thing that would be of concern to Rebbe Meir would be the signing of the get. But yet, in order to resolve the contradiction in the Mishnah, there we said that it's a matter of the writing of the get, not the signing. And that is in line with Rebbe Lozer. So if I had told you that that Mishnah, the first of the Mishnayos alluded to here, is in accordance with Rebbe Lozer, that's fine. Aval Seifa, the Mishnah that said, Hakol Ksheirim Lichtov, Dikotoni, it said in that Mishnah, She'ein Kiyum Haget Ela B'choismov. If you translate that, it comes out that the fulfillment of the get is in the signers. So the Mishnah that says everyone is kosher to writing the get, because we're not really concerned who writes the get. All we're concerned with is who signs the get. Oh, Eimo Rebbe Meir he, D'Eomar Eidei Chasim Akasim. That Mishnah sounds very much like Rebbe Meir, who says that the witnesses that sign the get are the ones, Karsi, that make it into a get. Karsi means that literally break the couple apart, that make the get effective. So, in order to, let's say, dispel that conclusion, that the Mishnah there is in accordance with, in order to dispel the idea that that Mishnah would be lefi Rebbe Meir, according to Rebbe Meir, it was necessary for Shmuel to say, regarding that Mishnah as well, that it's in accordance with Rebbe Elazar. Now, the question is, it's an obvious question, if you're going to say that Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Lezer, how in the world can the Mishnah say, Shein Kiyum HaGet Ela B'choismov, the fulfillment of the get is the signers, when we know very well that Rebbe Lezer holds the get is not dependent on the signers, but the ones who see it handed over, the Eidei Mesira. So, what do you mean by Shein Kiyum HaGet Ela B'choismov? So, Rashi, he really explains, comes to the rescue. Rashi on the first line under the Gemara text. Let's read it together. Eimo Rebbe Meir hi, v'eino tzorach l'shayer mokam atorif. If you say that everyone is kosher for writing the get, including all kinds of people that are not even obligated to fulfill mitzvahs, and they're kosher for writing the get, because the get is only based on chosmov, the result of that would be what you can have the whole get, including the personalized section, filled in by someone who otherwise is it would be disqualified to writing a get. So Rashi continues to explain that Shmuel tells us, "V'ashminu Shmuel the tzorach." Shmuel tells us that if you're going to have, let's say, a cotton writing a get, then you better leave the personalized parts blank. Rebbe Lozer he, and that Mishnah really is in accordance with Rebbe Lozer, that the personalized section must be written in by someone who is capable, someone who is qualified. The Seifa Dikotoni, the Seifa that said, the end of that Mishnah that said, Shein Kiyum HaGet Ela B'choismov, that the get's establishment is through its signers. Lav Lach Shurei Toreif Decheri Sheitevekotin Deshelo Lishma Koi. It's that phrase is not coming to suggest that the Toreif, the essential part of the get, can be written in, filled in by a Cheri Sheitevekotin, a deaf mute, an imbecile, or a minor who would be doing it Shelo Lishma. Elo Ametzi Osa Koi. The phrase "en kiyum haget ela b'choismov" is going on the middle section of the Mishnah. Ha'isha koseves esgito lishma v'ish shovro. The Mishnah said that, in effect, a woman could end up writing her own get, which is hard to believe otherwise. And a man, he could write the receipt, which is a document that really the woman you would expect to prepare and give to the husband when he pays her the ksuba. Why then is it possible that the isha, the woman, can write up her own get? She'ein kiyum haget ela b'mesiroso v'lo b'chasimoso. The fulfillment of the get is not in the signing of the get itself, but rather in its delivery. And in a case where the woman wrote her get, she would then give that to her husband, making him the owner of the get, and he in turn would give it back to her. And witnesses would see that. The Mishnah said that the kiyum of get is through the signers. It's a technicality. It's Mishum Deroiv. Eidei Mesira Heim HaChasumin Bo. The majority of witnesses that see the giving over of the get are in fact the witnesses that sign in the get. For Rav Gittin Chasumin Heim, the majority of Gittin are in fact signed. A few Rebbe Elazar, even according to Rebbe Elazar, who doesn't hold that they are so essential, but they sign anyway with they Tikkun HaOlam, to make sure things go smoothly in the event that the Eidei Mesira, who are essential, let us say they die, or they're not around, so I'll be able to fall back on the Eidei Chasima. I hope that the Rashi was clear. It's quite involved. He explained the phrase of Shein Kiyum HaGet Ela B'Chosmav is really a reference to the Kiyum HaGet is really the Eidei Mesira. And that is in accordance with Rebbe Elazar. And all of that information is brought to us by Shmuel, who said that the Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Elazar. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'i ashmi'inan behahi, and if Shmuel would have told us that that Mishnah of Hakol Ksherim Lichtoiv is in accordance with Rebbe Elazar, hahi nami ikma ikalu ukma k'Rebbe Elazar. Okay, there's room to establish it like Rebbe Elazar, like we just demonstrated. There's no strong force. Once you reinterpret Ein Kiyum HaGet Ela B'Chosmav like Rashi did, so there's no real force not to set up the Mishnah there like Rebbe Elazar. Ela avoha, but this Mishnah of the Koyisei Toysei Gittin, Emo, I would think, mi de Seifa Rebbe Elazar avi, reisha la Rebbe Elazar. In fact, that in the Seifa Rebbe Elazar appears, we dashed underline his name. So the reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, must not be Rebbe Elazar. The first part of the Mishnah that was machshir, the ksivas tofsei gittin, even tofsei gittin, it's not Rebbe Elazar. In other words, the seifa that said all other documents you can write ahead of time and not gitei nashim, that's what Rebbe Elazar said explicitly. So the reisha, which in effect disagrees. The Reisha says that you can write even Gitei Noshim ahead of time, provided you leave the specific areas blank. Tzricha. Therefore, I need Shmuel to tell me that the Reisha is also in accordance with Rebbe Elazar. And the question then is, but the Reisha allows Ksivas Tofsei Gittin, and the Seifa, Rebbe Elazar, prohibits Ksivas Tofsei Gittin. To that we would respond that there are two opinions as to what Rebbe Elazar said. Trei Tanoi v'Alibud Rebbe Elazar. So just to summarize, the last section of Gemara was to demonstrate how Shmuel, by saying in one Mishnah that it's in accordance with Rebbe Elazar, it wouldn't have necessarily followed that the subsequent Mishnayos were also in accordance with Rebbe Elazar. At each stage it was necessary for Shmuel to tell me that each one of these Mishnayos are unnamed Mishnayos or Stam Mishnayos according to Rebbe Elazar. Mipnei Hatakona. You noticed in the Mishnah, after listing the heter of preparing the standard form of the different documents, provided the key personalized elements are left blank, the Mishnah had said, Mipnei HaTakona. So the Gemara is asking, my Takona. The term Takona means it was a reference to some type of special enactment, some special resolution. What enactment are you referring to? In order to answer this question, you'll notice we have diamonds, which represent three hesberim to what is meant by mipnei hatakona. Omar Rebbe Yonason, mipnei takonas sofer. The heter of the Mishnah of writing the basic form is a takona for the benefit of the scribes. So what are we in effect saying here? You're going to be allowed to write ahead of time, before anyone comes to order a get. You're going to write the standard form of the get, lo lishma. So that is allowed for Rabbi Lozerhi. The fact that the Mishnah says that this is a special allowance for the sofer indicates that the Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Lozer. Diomar Eide Mesira Karsi. Rebbe Lozer, who explains that the witnesses that make the get into a get are the witnesses that see it handed over. And the Torah, which says the Kosav law Sefer Krisus, is the instructions to write the body of the get, not the signing of the get. So the writing of the get must be done lishma. Ubedinhu dafilu teifes nami lo lichtov. Technically speaking, we shouldn't allow even the standard form of the get to be prepared ahead of time, because you might come to fill in random names as well ahead of time. And when people come along that happen to have those names, the get will be instantly available to them, and that would be a get shelo lishma. So we shouldn't be making really any accommodations for the sofer. We should not allow him to write the tofes either. The standard form shouldn't be allowed either. As we just said, you might come to write the personalized section as well, lo lishma. Ah, so why do we take a chance? Why do we allow the tofes, the standard form, to be written ahead of time? Umishum takonas sofrim shoru rabbonan. In order to accommodate the sofrim, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, we read the Rashi, you have scribes that might be pressed for time, they're involved with writing other documents, and someone comes in needing a get, and in order to expedite matters, we accommodate the sofrim, allowing them to write the standard form. And as far as the lishma aspect of the get, the specified the get being written with specific intentions for this couple, that is fulfilled in filling in the personalized sections of the get, the names of the couple and the time. What we just have done, we saw Reb Yonason's explanation that mitnea takona means takonas sofrim. The house marking, which we already saw the first of them, are Gimel Shittas. On the side, we have our Mivneh that says Gimel Shittas Shebe Mishnosenu Vehezbeirom Lefi Rebbe Yonason. So Rebbe Yonason is starting to do, he's told us that the Mishnah up till Mipnei Hatakona, that up till that point the Mishnah was authored by Rebbe Lozer. But we have more Tanoim in the Mishnah. And Rabbi Yonason continues explaining the subsequent Tanoim in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, we continue in our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Posel Bekulan. This you saw in the Mishnah. What does that mean, Rabbi Yehuda Posel Bekulan? He, in the Mishnah, said that all standard forms of documents are not to be written ahead of time. Why? Gozar tofes otu toref. He, in fact, is worried about if we allow the standard form to be written, you're going to end up writing the personalized form, the personalized part in as well. So when it comes to the tofes, he does not want the tofes of any documents to be written, because you're going to end up writing the Toreif of Gittin. Rashi is very terse, but a lot is packed into a very short Rashi. Let's look at the Rashi together. Rabbi Yehuda, v'chulei, v'gozar shtoros afilu tofes. He does not allow, as we saw in the Mishnah, the writing of the standard form of any document. Otu Gittin, in anticipation of your coming to write the standard form of a get. And you'll ask, well, what's the problem with the standard form of the get? Well, we already explained that, because you can end up writing the personalized section of the get also ahead of time, and that would be a low lishmo. That would be a problem on a Doraisa level. What you might ask concerning this shita, we're not going to dwell on it, but in prohibiting the standard form of other shtaros in anticipation of the standard form of a get, but the standard form of a get itself is only a problem on a rabbinic level. So you have Reb Yehuda prohibiting the standard form of other documents, and that prohibition is itself rabbinic, in anticipation of another rabbinic prohibition, the standard form of a get. And only then do you say, well, the standard form of the get is a problem because of the specified portions of the get, which is on a Torah level or problematic. We call that a gzeira l'gzeira. Nevertheless, Reb Yehuda is very concerned, and here he seems to not be concerned with the fact that you've got a double level gzeira, which is generally speaking something we do not impose. This explanation, this opinion of Reb Yehuda, is now to be viewed in contrast with the next opinion. Let's continue in our Gemara. Maybe before we actually read on, let's read again the house with Reb Yehuda in it. Reb Yehuda posa b'kulan. What does Reb Yehuda declare void? Gozar tofes otu toreif, and gozar shtoros otu gittin. He prohibits the writing of the standard form because you might come to write in the toreif, the personalized part. And he prohibits other shtoros, even the standard form, in anticipation of your coming to write gittin ahead of time. But we mentioned, I know we're being a little repetitious, the problem of writing the tofes of gittin itself is only a rabbinic prohibition out of concern that you might come to write the personalized section of the get, which is that already is a problem on a Torah level. Rabbi Elazar machshir bekulan chutz migite noshim. This is, of course, Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar allows the writing of other documents ahead of time, the standard form of other documents ahead of time, with the exception of the writing of a get, the standard form of the get ahead of time. Tofes otu toreif gozar, with regard to a get, he doesn't want you to write even the standard form of the get ahead of time, because if we allow that, you're going to end up writing in the personalized part of a get ahead of time. And that would be a big problem. That would be a chisorn of lishma. However, shtoros otu gittin lo gozar. Rebbe Lozar does not prohibit the preparing ahead of time of standard shtoros, only because you might come to confuse that with gittin. And here Rashi says what we said before regarding Reb Yehuda, who doesn't concern himself with gzeira l'gzeira. Reb Elazar does. And let's look at the Rashi together. Shtoros otu gittin, betofes lo gozar. With regard to banning the preparation ahead of time of shtoros, because you might come to prepare a get, the standard form of it ahead of time, that he does not go there. He does not prohibit the tofes of other shtaros, because that would be the gzeira l'gzeira. That would be a rabbinic prohibition in anticipation of only another mere rabbinic prohibition, which is something that, generally speaking, we do not do. As I said before, it seems in this sukkah that the worry that Rabbi Yehuda has concerning the toref of a get being written is so overwhelming that he doesn't want to write even the toface of other shtaros. And doesn't concern himself with the problem of that is a gzera l'gzera. Let's continue in our Gemara. Shenemar, the Mishnah said, it says in the Pasuk, the Kosav law. Now, as we said before, when we read the Mishnah, if you read it on a very superficial level, the Mishnah is saying that you cannot write the toface of Gitei Nashim, because the Pasuk says, V'kosav lo lishma, which would mean that the translation of that would be that the toface of a get, isha, must be done lishma. The Gemara asks, V'ha kiksiv lo atoref hu dichtiv. The Torah's insistence on the get being written lishma, that's binding only with regard to the personalized part of the get. Namely, when you're writing the names of the husband, the names of the wife, the scribe has to have in mind the specific woman for whom he is writing in the name. So why does the Mishnah say, in describing the prohibition of writing the standard form of the get, and cites this pasuk, when that's not appropriate? Elo emo. So rather, don't read the pasuk, the Mishnah, as simply shene'emar. Elo mishum shene'emar v'kosav lo lishma. Oh, just adding one word changes the whole picture. The Mishnah is saying, don't write the toface of gittin, the standard form of a get, mishum shene'emar, because in the Torah there is an insistence that the toref be written lishma. So since within the Torah there's a prohibition concerning a toref being written shelo lishma, we don't want you to write the toface of a get either. We continue on Omid Beis. Kashya de Rebbe Lozer ad de Rebbe Lozer. We already answered this question while explaining the Gemara, but nevertheless, let's go over the question. There seems to be a stira in Rebbe Lozer. Once Rabbi Yonason, he opened up this section of the Gemara saying that the first section of the Mishnah, which allows the writing of Tofse Gittin, just leave the personalized sections blank, that is in accordance with Rebbe Lozer. But yet, when you get to the end of the Mishnah, you see that Rebbe Lozer doesn't allow you to write even the standard form of the get. So would that not be a contradiction in Rebbe Lozer? The Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi Valiba de Rebbe Lozer. There are two later Tanoim who disagree as to what Rebbe Lozer really holds. As you see, there's a second diamond appearing now. The diamonds are shitos to explain what does mipnei hatakona mean in the Mishnah. Rav Shapsi Omar Chizkia Mishum Ktata V'Rebbe Meir. Notice we've not underlined this Meir. We want to draw your attention to the fact that Reb Shabsai establishes a Mishnah like Rebbe Meir. This is in contrast to Reb Yonason and his setting up the Mishnah like Rebbe Lozer. So Mipnei HaTakona is Mipnei Ktata. Rashi, Mipnei Ktata, Mipnei HaTakona Dekotoni. The Mishnah's declaration that we are doing something out of as a result of a special enactment, lav ahetera de toif sekoy. It's not a reference at all to the heter of writing the standard form ahead of time. Elo, rather, mipnei hatakona is elo atzorich shioniach koi. The requirement in the Mishnah of leaving the names blank, that requirement is a rabbinic concern. Mipnei takonas ketota. Because if you would allow the filling in of the names, in truth, on a Torah level, you could do that. And why can you do that? Because the concept of ikosav lo lishma has nothing to do with what you write in the body of the get. The Torah's requirement of ikosav lo lishma, that the get has to be done prepared with the specific couple in mind, that's a reference to the signing of the witnesses. But on a Torah level, you can fill in the standard form of the get, the personalized section of the get. But don't do that on a rabbinic level. Why? Because that could lead to domestic quarrel. And how does that come to be? So we're going to go on a bit in the Gemara and the Rashi, and you'll see why the rabbis are concerned to leave out the personalized section. So we continue in the Gemara on the third line from the top. Chizkiah is telling us that the Mishnah is really in accordance with Rebbe Meir, Diomar Eide Chasimo Karsi, that the Torah's requirement of the Kosav law is going on the witnesses that sign. They are the ones that make the get into a legally binding document. Ubedinhu, and technically speaking, Dafilu Toref Nami Lichtov, as far as writing ahead of time, you could even fill in the names. However, Vizimnin Deshamole Lesoifer Dekokosiv, a woman might hear a sofer writing. And we alluded to this at the beginning of the perek, that when a sofer writes, he might very well be saying aloud that which he is writing. So a woman could be walking by, listening to a sofer preparing a get ahead of time. And if we would allow him to fill in everything, even the personalized sections, she's going to hear names, Visavra, and she's going to think, Ihu Ka Marle. There are certain common names, and the sofer might be filling in those names and saying a common name, and the woman walking by thinks that her husband has ordered a get. He's about to divorce me. And that will create strife. That will infuriate her. So in order to preempt this situation from arising, we say to the sofrim, as much as we would like to accommodate you and allowing you to write everything ahead of time, including filling in the names, don't fill in the names. The Rashi, let's read Rashi together on the fourth line from the top. Verbi Meirhi, Delo Boy Ksiva Lishma. The Mishnah, according to Chizkiah, when it says Mipnei HaTakona, is really in accordance with Rabbi Meir, that doesn't require any aspect of the writing of the get, the text of the get itself being done Lishma, V'lo Tzorach She'aniach Mokom Hareat Muteres, and you don't need to leave blank that key phrase either, Ela Mokom Hashemos Levadon. The only thing that we want you to leave blank is the names, Mishum Ktota. Umokum hazman, leave blank the time as well, mishum mukdom. We don't want to have a document that is prepared that indicates a time that is earlier than the actual time that it was used. We turn back to the Gemara. Rav Chista Omar Avimi Omar. Let me read that again. Rav Chista Omar Avimi, Mishum Takonas Agunos. So Rav Chista, in quoting Avimi, says that the Mipnei HaTakona is an enactment concerning Agunos. Now this happens to be a very general use of the word Agunos, and you'll appreciate that more why when we get into the Gemara itself. Aguna has a technical meaning to it, and in this case, we're going to just say Aguna has a general flavor to it. Why is it important to establish at this point the general aspect to it? Because when we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see two divergent opinions as how to explain the term Takonos Agunos. So the general flavor of Aguna is a woman that is literally it means a woman that is that's withheld or restrained in the sense that she doesn't have her husband around. The classic case of Aguna is a woman whose husband went abroad and he's lost. We don't have any information concerning his demise. The woman is withheld. She can't marry anyone at this point because we don't know for sure that her husband is dead. She is withheld. She's in a lurch. However, that being the classic explanation of Aguna, we explained earlier, Aguna also has this general connotation of a woman that's alone. Avimi said that Mipnei HaTakona means Mipnei HaTakonas Agunas. Amri lo Rabbi Meir, v'Amri lo Rabbi Elazar. Now within Avimi's explanation, there are actually two tracks to explain who the author of the first section of the Mishnah is. Once having said Takonas Agunas, what do you really mean by that? Well, it could be explained in accordance with Rabbi Meir, and it could be explained in accordance with Rebbe Elazar, as the Gemara explains. You can see we have Aleph and a squiggle on the line, Amri lo Rabbi Meir. You drop down a few lines, you see Beis, Amri lo Rabbi Elazar. Amri lo Rabbi Meir. The Omar, we can explain the Mishnah using this concept of Takonas Agunas, leave the names out of the prepared get. This is really authored by Rabbi Meir Diomar Eide Chasimo Karsi, that the witnessing that makes the get into a get are the ones that sign the get. Ubedin hu diafilu toref nami lichtov, and technically speaking, you can even fill in the names. Vezimnin dahave lek tote bahado. There are times that there's strife, there's intense domestic fighting, discontent. Verosachalo, and the husband gets angry at her. And if he has a get that's completely filled in with the names that were all prepared ahead of time, and technically speaking, that could be done, because the only thing that needs to be done with them in mind are the signing of the witnesses. Vezorek le mihalo. He'll find this get fully prepared with the names in it that match his own name and his wife's name. And he'll find it, my understanding is he'll find two people to sign it real quickly, and he'll throw her the get, ume'agein umoisiv lo. And here Rashi is critical. Ume'agein umoisiv lo kishihi megureshes. That's why I explained a moment ago that he'll find everything prepared and he'll quickly have two witnesses sign it, and then throw her the get and leave her. Now that idea of leaving her is the concept of how we're using in the broad sense the word aguna, even though it's not the classical sense, because the classical sense of an aguna is a woman who is specifically not divorced, and she's not, we don't know her as a widow either. But here, we're using it in a broad sense. The husband will throw her the get and leave her divorced. So, and my understanding of this is that we don't want to have too much ease in allowing or in enabling a divorce to take place. We're only too familiar with the idea, with the phenomenon of couples that live in strife, and there's anger, and there's a temper and fits of wrath, and if things are too easy to accomplish, i.e., too easy to enable a divorce to take place, we don't want to accommodate. We don't want to accommodate that situation. Therefore, the Takona Saguna says, even though you could have actually filled in everything ahead of time, including the names, but that's going to make it just a little too easy for a husband that's overcome with a fit of wrath to divorce his wife, so as to forestall that from happening, don't fill in the names. Okay, he'll get angry, but he realizes he can't just walk out on her and leave her like that. That would be inhumane. So by leaving out the names, we accomplish that goal of not leaving her truly abandoned. Amri Lo Reb Elozer. The Takonas Agunos that Avimi described could be explained in line with Reb Elozer. Diomar Ede Mesira Karsi. Reb Elozer holds that the witnesses that make a get into a get are the witnesses that see the delivery, the handing over of the get. Now, according to Reb Elozer's outlook, or his point of view, the signing of the get is not essential on a letter of the law basis. Ah, but the Torah says for kosav law. The kosav, according to Reb Elozer, is going on the writing of the body of the get. Ubedinhu dafilu tofes nami lo lichtov. As far as Reb Elozer is concerned, you shouldn't be allowed to write even the standard form ahead of time. Because if we allow that, you might come to write in the personalized section of the get, which must be done lishma. That cannot be written ahead of time by letter of the law. However, if we don't allow the tofes either to be written, and this Takonas Agunos is an explanation at this point as to why we will allow the tofes to be written. A moment ago, when we were describing the Mishnah Aliba de Remeir, Takonas Agunos was an explanation as to why not to fill in the personalized section. With explaining the Mishnah according to Reb Elozer, Takonas Agunos is an explanation as to why we will allow the writing of the tofes. Why is that? Why is it important for us to accommodate the get situation by allowing the tofes to be written in, when in fact it's kind of dangerous to allow that? Vizimnin deboy lemezam yisayam. There are times that a husband has to go abroad for whatever very pressing need, he has to leave. For lo ashkach safra, and he won't find a scribe. Vishovik law, and he'll leave his wife anyway. The ozil ma'agenu mosiv law, he'll go and leave her an aguna. And here, aguna in the classic sense, a woman who's still married, but her husband is not around. So, and all of that is because it would take, so he'd have to find a sofer to start writing a get from scratch. So what do? We allow sofrim, we allow gittin to be prepared almost entirely ahead of time, just leaving blank the names. And in the event that a husband is pressed to leave, he'll then be able to divorce his wife before he leaves, because all he'll have to do is fill in just the names, and two witnesses see the handing over to her, and he'll be able to go, and his wife will be free to marry whomever she wants and won't be left behind as a classic aguna. A quote from the Mishnah, Umokom Hazman, that the place where the date is to be written must also be left blank. On the side we have a topic heading, Bahachonas Get Merosh, with regard to the preparation of a divorce document ahead of time, Tzrich Loniach Reik Gam Mokom Hazman. You have to leave blank the date as well. This idea of writing a get has applications to get min ha-nisuin. Nisuin is a couple that have consummated their marriage. They're living together as husband and wife in the full sense of the matter. There's another level of marital bond, which is lesser than nisuin. Get mino erusin. That's the situation where a man is formally married to the wife. However, he hasn't entered the marriage canopy yet. He hasn't consummated his marriage. That's the stage we call erusin. Nowadays, you don't really see that in a formal sense, but there was a time in the Talmudic era. There was a period of sometimes it's called betrothal, where a man gives a woman money in exchange for her acquiescence to marrying him, money or something of money value, but they don't consummate the marriage until several months go by, as the Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Ksubas describes. The necessity of leaving the time, the date, out of a get prepared ahead of time, the Mishnah said under all circumstances, not qualifying which kind of get. The Gemara, Kaposik v'toni lo shna min hanisuin v'lo shna min ha'erisin. The necessity of leaving the date out of a get document, according to the Mishnah, there is no distinction made whether it's a get from nisuin, which we'll see later as we go on in the Gemara. There, the date is critical. Veloshno min erisin, even a get, when the couple haven't even consummated their marriage yet, the date nevertheless must be left blank when preparing a get to divorce a woman that has reached only the erusin state of marriage. Bishlama min hanisuin, the need for leaving the date out of a get when a woman is getting divorced after having achieved nisuin, that is understandable according to both explanations as to why there is a date in a get in the first place. So why is there a date written into a get in the first place? If you didn't have a date written into a get, and we should point out, everything we're saying now is review from things we have learned earlier in the Masechta. A man may be married to his niece, and that's referred to in the Gemara as Bas Achoso. And you might have a situation where the man's wife, i.e. his niece, behaved immorally, went off with another man, had intimacy with another man, and by letter of the law, she is liable to the death penalty. The uncle, in this case, who just also happens to be her husband, might have a feeling of compassion for her, not because this is his wife, but it's his niece. And he sees his niece being taken out to be executed. So wouldn't it be convenient for her to have a divorce document? And she would take out the divorce document and say, yeah, okay, I behaved immorally, but I'm not married anymore to my husband, to my uncle. And a document like that, a divorce document, would be very convincing, and she would be able to spare herself of the death penalty. Well, we don't want that to happen. We don't want a guilty person to go off scot-free. So a date is written into the divorce document. And if the date indicates that when the immorality took place she was still married, then the fact that now she is divorced isn't going to help her one bit. So that's one reason for one of the opinions as to why a date appears in a get. Another reason for a date to appear in the get is that while a couple is married, after a man consummates his marriage with his wife, once they reach the nisuin level of matrimony, The husband has a right to sell the produce from fields that his wife brought into the marriage. That's referred to in the Gemara by the term piri, piri peros, fruits. Why is it important for a divorce document to have a date in it? Because if a man sells the fruits of his wife's field after he divorced her, he had no right to sell the fruits. The woman has a right to seize upon the purchasers, claiming you had no right to buy those fruits. Give me back the fruits, or give me back their money equivalent. You had no right to pay him for them. Therefore, it's important for a date to appear in the get, because if a date doesn't appear, the husband may have in fact sold fruits before the divorce, and he had a right to sell them. The buyers had a right to buy them. She would go to the buyers, take out her get, and say, "How could you buy these fruits? I'm a divorced woman. He was selling my field's fruits." So a date will establish at which point the husband no longer had a right to sell the fruits. So a date in a divorce document, if it's a divorce document from the Nisuin stage, that makes sense that there should be a date in it, and when you're writing gittin ahead of time, leave out the date. Bain lemandomer mishum bas achoso iko, whether it's according to the opinion that said the date is there to preempt an over-compassionate uncle, it's important for the date not to be written ahead of time. And Bain lemandomer mishum peri iko, and likewise regarding the issue of peros, it's important to leave the date blank. The Rashi says, lemandomer mishum peri iko, shimichtev zman lebo bayom, if the scribe writes in the date ahead of time when he's preparing the gittin, and the actual divorce takes place later, well, the husband was right, allowed to sell fruits up till that point of the actual divorce. She'll seek compensation from the purchasers from the date that appears in the get, which was at the time of the writing of the get, when in fact it wasn't used till later on. So it's important to leave the date blank when you're preparing gittin ahead of time. The Gemara goes on, Elo minho erusin. The idea of leaving a date out of a divorce from the mere erusin stage of things. Bishlomo lemadu mishum basacho so iko. As far as a divorce of one's niece to whom the uncle is married, but they haven't consummated their marriage. Nevertheless, if she behaves immorally after they reached Erusin, she's still liable to the death penalty. So all of the concerns we mentioned earlier arise, so as to preempt an over-compassionate uncle from providing her with a dateless divorce document, which would end up helping her. In order to preempt any, we'll say, foul play on the part of the husband, the uncle, so we say there is the necessity of having a date in a get, and the date is not to be put in the get until the actual divorce takes place. Therefore, leave it blank. Leave it blank until the actual divorce takes place. Because if you write in the date ahead of time, it will indicate to those who see the divorce document that she was divorced much earlier than she actually was, and in the interim she conducted herself in an immoral fashion, and she is liable to the death penalty. And having that early date written in, because we're writing the gittin ahead of time, that would get her off the hook erroneously. So as far as the bas achoso approach to having dates in gittin, that is a concern with regard to gittin mina erusin as well. Elolaman, Yomar Mishum Peri, if the whole reason for having a date in a get is because of the Peri consideration, namely, we have to know at which point the husband who up till now was able to sell the fruits can no longer sell the fruits. But if you have a couple that's getting divorced from the Emerson stage of things, Arusa mi is la Peri, in the case of an Arusa, is there a din of Peros, i.e., is the husband entitled to Peros at that early stage? It's not so. He doesn't have a right to sell the Peros. His right to sell the Peros is only from what's called Shas Tnai Ksuba, when they consummate the marriage. So if a couple is getting divorced, that had reached only the Erusin stage, and the whole concern for a date is a fruit consideration, so write the date in ahead of time. What erroneous loss would come to purchasers of fruits in that case? They weren't allowed to buy fruits in the first place from a man who's only an orus to the woman. So write the date ahead of time in a get from an erusin if the consideration is peros. Omar Rav Amram. Ha milsa shamis mine de ula. The following I heard in the from Ula to explain the reason for having the date left out. The Omar Mishum Takonas Vlad. Ula said Takonas Vlad. Velo yadano mayni, and I didn't know what he meant by that. Kevon de Sham Isa Lahodisanya, when I heard the following, then things made sense. What did I hear? The following braisa, Oimer, a man says, Kisfu get la rusasi. A man instructs a scribe to write a get for his wife, who is only an arusa. And when I consummate the marriage with her, I will divorce her. Eino get. That is not an acceptable get. Once again, man says, write a get right now for my arusa, and I'm not going to give it to her until after I consummate the marriage. That is not a good get. Let's take a look at Rashi. Across from here, Eino get, the get yoshon hu. It's termed a get yoshon. Yoshon literally means an old get, but we'll see what that means. Shemotis aber kishe ikonsena. When he consummates the marriage with her, that might in fact impregnate her. 9 months after that, after the consummation of the marriage, a child will be born. But we saw in the story that he's going to be giving her a divorce at that point. But what's the date in the divorce? The date in the divorce would have been when he asked the get to be written. If you're going to fill in the date ahead of time, the date would be written in from the earlier point in time, while they were still an Oros and Arusa. The Yomru, and the result is going to be when that child is born 9 months after the consummation of the marriage, people will say, Gita Koidem Livna. But when they calculate the birth of the child relative to the date on which she was divorced, it will turn out that she was divorced more than 9 months ago. So then, how was she impregnated? Seems like she had some type of extramarital or outside of marriage. Post-marriage, or as a single woman becoming impregnated, shusavurim shenosnu la biyom shenifta. People will think that she was divorced from the date the get was written. we read the Rashi explains what we're now going to see in the Gemara. The Braisa having said that a man who asks a get to be written for his arusa and he will give it to her after he consummates the marriage, and the source said, Eino get, v'yorma ulo ma tam, why is that not good? Gzeiro shemo yomru, that's going to lead to people saying, Gita koilem livna. In the case, in the Braisa that we just read, he's going to have a get written, the date will appear from the writing, it's not going to be given until after he consummates the marriage. At the point that he consummates the marriage, she might become pregnant, and people will think that she was divorced prior to her becoming impregnated, leading the public to view the child as being born from an intimacy outside the realm of a married couple. Hachinami, so too in with regard to our Mishnah, the reason for leaving the date out of the get prepared ahead of time is Gzeiro Shema Yomru Gita Kodem Livna. If the date is written into a divorce document, but it's going to be used to divorce only later on, she might become impregnated at a point in time after the get was written. She'll give birth 9 months later after the impregnation. The get will, though, have a date in it prior to that. So people will say that she became impregnated after she was already divorced. The Rashi across from here says, Hachanami b'masnisin mishimochi tzorach, here in our Mishnah as well, it's for this reason that you have to leave blank mokum zman. Af l'tofes ho'arusa, even with regard to the tofes of a get for an arusa. Shemo yichtov zman lubo bayom. A man a get is being prepared ahead of time that will be used by a man who's divorcing his wife from merely erusin. If they write the date on the day of the writing of that get, v'hu lo yigarsheno ad lachar nisuin, and the man decides to use the get only after they actually enter nisuin, the yomru, and people will then say, below kiddushin uksuban is abra liachar gerushin. People think that she became impregnated without having been married, without having a ksuba, becoming impregnated after she was already divorced. Upagam mishpachu, it's denigrating to the family to have a woman in the family that became impregnated outside the institution of marriage. We continue in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Shila, Amar Hamnuna Saba, Amar Rav Adar Bar Ava, Amar Rav Halacha Karebi Elazar. The halacha follows Rabbi Elazar. Now that's tricky because we had Rabbi Elazar appear twice. So Rashi comes to the rescue, says the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar that doesn't allow even the standard form of a get to be written ahead of time. Because if we would allow that, you might come to fill in the personalized, the toreif portion as well. And that would be a chisoron in lishma. On the side, we have a topic heading. Hayim yesh lifsok Rabbi Elazar ulahatir achonos toifsei shar shtoros meirosh. Should we rule like Rabbi Elazar, who allows the preparation of the standard form of other shtoros, besides Gittin, the standard form of other shtoros ahead of time, benigud l'daitish Rabbi Yehuda, contrary to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who was restrictive even with regard to other shtoros. So in the meantime, we saw Rav paskening like Rabbi Elazar, who does not allow the toface of Gittin to be written ahead of time, because you might come to write the toreif ahead of time. Kori Rav Oleid Rabbi Elazar. Rav described Rabbi Elazar Tuvino de Hakimi as the choicest of the sages, the strongest of the sages. Gemara asks a question: Vafilu b'shashtar osnami? Are you going to say that we're going to rule like Rabbi Elazar with regard to other documents as well, i.e., allowing the preparation of the toface of other documents ahead of time against Rabbi Yehuda? The Amar Rav Papi Mishmei the Rava. Hi, Ashar Sudadaini. Ashar Sudadaini is a text that is written after courts confirm, verify signatures in documents. What we just described is called Ashar Sudadaini, the affirmation of the judges, of witnesses that sign documents. Now, there's a text that constitutes an Ashar Sudadaini. So, Rava Poppy, in the name of Rava, says, "Hi Ashar Sudadaini, the Michtava Makami Delisidi Sadi Achsimis Yadayo Psula." If a court verification text is written ahead of time, written before the witnesses who signed on the document come and testify, these are our signatures. Well, if you're going to write the text of the Ashar Sudadaini, the court confirmation, before the witnesses actually confirm their signatures, well, we say that's puzzle. Why? Well, Alma, the result of this ruling shows us Merci Keshikra. It looks like a lie. You know, how can you have a document that says we three judges were seated here and so and so witnesses came in and testified about their signatures and we confirmed them to be true? And then the judges would sign their names to that statement. Yeah, but if they write that statement that we were seated here and the witnesses said these are our signatures when it didn't happen yet, that appears like a lie that they would write such a thing. That's called Merci Keshikra. Well, Hachanami, Merci Keshikra. So too, when you are preparing, let's say, Tofsei Shtaros, you're preparing the standard form of financial documents ahead of time. In other words, you're going to write a document that says that a loan of X amount of money, a loan took place when in fact the loan hasn't yet taken place. So you're allowing for something to be prepared under Merci Keshikra circumstances. And you see that we're concerned with that. The Gemara rejects this. It says, V'lesan. What we just said is not true. Midrav Nachman. The application of Merci Keshikra to the case of the Shar Shtoros, writing the body of Shar Shtoros ahead of time, and claiming that would be a problem of Merci Keshikra, is simply not so. Based on Rav Nachman's teaching, Yom Rav Nachman, Oimer Hoya Rabbi Meir, Filu Motzo Ba'ashba, even if you found a divorce document in a garbage heap, and the names in the divorce document mentioned the finder's name and his wife's name as well, matched those names, Chosmoy V'noslu Lo Kosher, if the passerby picked the get out of the garbage and had the proper witnesses sign it, and then he gives that to his wife, it would be kosher. That idea of it being kosher is because the signing was done l'shma. That happens to be Shitas Rebbe Meir. V'afilu Rabbonan lo pligo le de Rebbe Meir. Even the Rabbonan wouldn't argue with Rebbe Meir l'begite noshim. They would have hesitancy with this kind of situation where, with regard to the fellow that found the get in the garbage, you have a get that was written ahead of time for as far as he is concerned. And the Rabbonan say it's not good. Why do the Rabbonan say it's not good? Well, it's not good because you're dealing with Gitei Noshim, Debuina Ksiva Lishma. The Rabbonan, as opposed to Rebbe Meir, say that the body of the get must be written with specific intent. And obviously the get that you found in the garbage wasn't prepared for you. Avo b'shar shtoros lo, but with regard to other shtoros, where you don't have a concept of ksiva lishma, there would be nothing wrong with having the body of the shtar written in ahead of time. Di omrav asi omrav yochanan, shtar shelova boy uporoi. shtar, a contract or a document that you used to collect money. So Mr. A borrowed money from Mr. B, and A wrote a shtar saying, I, Mr. A, owe you, Mr. B, this and this amount of money. Eino chozer v'lo v'bo. Mr. A, after, let's say, paying up his loan, he can't use that original shtar for borrowing the same amount a second time. Why not? Shekvar nimchal shibudo. A loan that's accounted for in a document entitles the lender to seize upon the properties of the borrower. See, in the event that the borrower doesn't pay cash, the lender can seize properties. Up to what point does the lender have a right to seize properties that the borrower may have sold subsequent to the loan? The lender can seize upon properties sold by the borrower, obviously up to the point that the borrower pays back the loan. So if you have a loan that was paid back, and the borrower wants to borrow the same amount a second time, a new shtar has to be written. Why? Because the old shtar no longer has validity with regard to the shibudo, the liens. So now, why is it that the shtar can't be recycled, so to speak? Why not? Taimo denimchal shibudo. It's because a technical reason that the lien that the shtar had entitled the lender to is no longer binding because the loan was paid up. Avo mishum shikro lo chayshinon. But because of a concern that it appears as if it were a lie. In other words, the shtar indicates that Mr. A was borrowing $100 from Mr. B, and then when the second loan comes to take place, when Mr. A wants to borrow again $100, we would have been able to use that shtar that was written ahead of time. It was written for the first loan, not for this loan. That doesn't bother us, as we said, except for the problem of the lien. But as far as shikra is concerned, Rashi says, second line from the bottom, Aval shikra im hoya nechtam al milvezu, if it was signed for the first loan, Afal pi shenichtav kedem halva, even though it was written earlier than the second loan, kosher, it would have been a kosher document, im bo bayom nechtav, if it was written on that same day. In other words, you could have a case of a person who borrowed money early in the morning with a document written up, the accurate date, and he paid up later that day, and then toward the end of the day, he needed to borrow the money again. So as far as the date is concerned, it would have been appropriate to use it again. As far as it appearing to be as sheker, that doesn't bother us. The only thing that bothers us, as we said, is the fact that when the first loan was paid up, the malva, the lender, loses his rights to seize upon properties sold by the love as a result of his having paid up that first loan. And to think that he could use that for seizing properties because of the second loan, you would have to have a new shtar written up. For further clarification on that last point, let's read the Rashi. Aval l'shikra, we read this Rashi already, but it's important to read it again just with a little more clarity. Aval l'shikra, im hoya nechtam al milvezu. If you had a loan document that was signed for this loan, let us say as opposed to the case before that we spoke about a second loan being taken out, let's talk about a simpler case, a document that is signed for this particular loan, afal pi shenichtav koidem halva, even though the document was written before the loan took place, it was prepared ahead of time, kosher, it would be a kosher thing, in bo bayom nichtav, if it were written that day, you can have a loan document that is written early in the morning It has the right, early in the morning of the day in which the loan will be extended. The whole thing is written out ahead of time, before the loan is actually extended, later that day. Does that bother us? Does it appear that we're writing a sheker? No, it doesn't bother us. By having the proper date in it, by having witnesses sign it for this loan in mind, there is no other legal problem. The only problem that might have arisen is that it doesn't appear to be honest, because it's being written concerning a loan that hasn't been extended yet. But you can see that particular concern is of really no concern to us. Therefore, with regard to the preparation ahead of time of other financial documents, that's okay. And we're not going to rule like Reb Yehuda, who prohibited that. And all of this is because if there was a consideration of not to allow it because of Merci Keshikra, we see that Merci Keshikra does not apply across the boards. It might, in fact, apply to the case of the Ashar Sedaini, the court verification of signatures in a document, but beyond that, as we demonstrated, the case of the get found in the garbage, or the Shtar Shelovabo Paro Enochos Velovabo, from those cases you see documents that were prepared in effect ahead of time. The reason we can't use them was for some other consideration, but not because of Merci Keshikra. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.